following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Friday, July the 28th. We welcome you to tonight's Viewpoint segment. This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scaparro, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome all of our viewers, our regulars, and if you're new to the broadcast, let us know in the comment section below on whatever platform you may be watching that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. So tonight, we're going to do a kind of a second part. We're going to kind of build further into on Wednesday segment. So I want to encourage you, if you did not watch our Wednesday night broadcast or listen to it, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it. It was called How Much More Proof Do You Need? And this was our Wednesday night broadcast. And we talk about how the infrastructure, the blueprint of the beast system, the system of buying, selling, and trading, all that system, the blueprints of this system is being formed right before our eyes. So that's what we talked about Wednesday night. So tonight, we're just going to kind of just continue from that. We have more information we want to share with you that's come out over the past 48 hours. And we really want to dig into that. So buckle up. We're going to take you on a ride. So it's no secret now, if you are keeping up with our broadcast, you are a regular viewer of End Time Headlines, you can clearly see that all the framework is all being completed. The implementation of the Fed now, this framework for ending financial freedom, and some analysts say not only will it end financial freedom, but privacy as we know it will be obsolete. The World Health Organization has formed their pandemic treaty, which if all allies or all parties, I should say, sign this, it will put in place this continual framework for a global health mandate. And then, of course, we have Europe now that's rolling out this Digital Service Act that's already, they're trying to enforce this. This also will put the framework, for intense control of online speech. Next month, Europe's Digital Services Act, the DSA, will be coming online in the month of August. The DSA aims to curtail illegal online activity and restrict targeted advertising. The largest companies, those with over 45 million European users, will face fines up to 6% of their annual turnover if they fail to comply with the new rules. So how are they going to enforce this? They will have to be transparent about how they moderate content, advertise, and use algorithmic processes. Hosting services and domain registrars are now responsible for reporting criminal offenses to authorities and cooperating with national law enforcement. And by the way, this is, I want to give credit to, this is a source. This, I'm reading this from The Organic Prepper. The Organic Prepper. In this report, she details how, and she did a lot of research on this, the DSA also contains provisions for combating disinformation, which means that it can be used to police online speech. Now, we talked about that. The United Nations is on board with this completely as well. Now, France has already made threats to Twitter that they will boot Twitter. Why? Because under Elon Musk, he's refusing to comply with this because a voluntary agreement had to be put into place between big tech and European commissions to help the largest tech companies comply with the Digital Services Act's new obligations. Now, because of Twitter's withdrawal from this or not complying with this, France's digital minister publicly stated, quote, Twitter, if it repeatedly does not follow our rules, will be banned from the European Union. And he went on and even posted on Twitter. Again, this is the digital minister of France said, quote, fighting disinformation will be legal. Now, if you don't think, in case you didn't know, the European Union has already shut down large media outlets just through court orders. Now, again, and you said, well, we're in the United States, Brother Ricky. I don't know why you're telling us about Europe. Because, again, if you think what's going on over there and these rules and these regulations If you think just because it's there and it's overseas, if you think it's not coming here, again, wake up. The desire to centralize power has been around longer than the World Economic Forum. In fact, here's another story. This is from the Daily Mail. Look at this headline. Quote, National Digital Identification, how the government plans to keep track of every citizen with a universal ID, linking everything from Medicare to your driver's license. We talked about that on Wednesday's program because I told you that eventually when we get to Revelation 13, there has to be some type of system in place that will involve putting something in your right hand or in your forehead that will be able to contain all your information, including healthcare, driver's license, and your banking account. So again, this article is specifically targeted to Australians. So if you're joining us from Australia, you may or may not already know about this, but nevertheless, we want to share this information. Let me talk about this. Australians could soon be using a national digital ID that would hold all of your information, acting as Medicare card, driver's license, passport, and holding Centrelink details. So look at that. A national digital identification that will be given to citizens that will be able to contain your medical information, your driver's license, your passport, and your details. A universal ID was first planned by the coalition and has now been taken up by the Albanese government. Finance Minister Katie Gallagher said the idea, which would allow licenses and other forms to be verified online by external organizations, could be rolled out within a year. So 2024. Guys, there's a lot of stuff in the works for 2024. I'm just saying, if you've been keeping up with stuff, you'll know that. There's already been backlash towards this proposed ID. But on Wednesday, Ms. Gallagher told the Australian Financial Review's Government Services Summit that the program should be up and running by next year. Isn't that great? Sarcasm there, by the way. Look at this picture. This is what we're going to get used to seeing right here. A universal ID, again, right here pictured. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, we're looking at a mock illustration here of what an example of what this could look like. And it literally looks like your driver's license, but it's all digital. And there is a QR code which will be scanned by someone, some agency, and within the complexity of that QR code will contain all this information. The finance minister said, quote, that's a pretty tight time frame, so I don't want to be held to that, but that's kind of my roadmap. The finance minister said many Australian states are already using digital services to access IDs, such as driver's license, and a nationally regulated service would be an extension of that. Quote, we've got the system. Oh, it's interesting. We've got the system. Oh, yes, they do. If you've been paying attention, that's interesting verbiage. We got the system. It's just not regulated and not in a shape, I think, that will allow us to drive it forward and give the interoperability and the economy-wide benefits that come from having a national system. But we are committed to it. Ms. Gallagher went on to say that the service would not be a new card or number, but ID forms will be compiled into one system in an easy, secure, voluntary, and efficient way. Let me say that again, because this will definitely make you sleep better at night, because this will be one system. It will be easy, secure, voluntary, and efficient all the way through. Existing state and territory apps would all work together with the new plan. Now, it's interesting when you read on in this article, It said that, quote, the plan is also likely to be controversial, given that it is coming after several major cyber attacks in Australia in the past 18 months. But here's what's interesting. When I'm going to pull this up so you can see what I'm looking at here. Look what it says here. We've seen this particularly coming out of theories, conspiracy theories about what the government's trying to do. Wow. But she wants to assure Australians that they will have control of their information. Sure. Because after all, guys, it's about, quote, securing your information and protecting your information and ensuring that you know when that information is shared, it's done under a, quote, regulated system. In the United Kingdom, last February, according to this report, former Prime Minister Tony Blair was accused of pushing a, quote, creepy plan for every Briton to be issued with a digital ID as part of a, quote, reshaping of the state around technology. Former Conservative Party Chairman Jake Berry branded the proposal as a creepy state plan to track you from the cradle to the grave. That's interesting. Even more scary, here is a poll. There was a poll that was given there in the UK, whereas in more than half of the Britons, 54%, would absolutely support the introduction of a system of national ID cards in the United Kingdom. But over here in the States, and the American Civil Liberties Union published an article headlined, quote, digital IDs might sound like a good idea, but they could be a privacy nightmare. Now we've got an interesting video clip I want you to watch. So we'll watch this together. This all ties in with this. Let's check this out, and we'll probably stop it, insert some commentary here and there, but let's just check this out.
Online.
A federated digital ID ecosystem developed in collaboration with Canada's best and brightest talent from our banks, telecommunication companies, law enforcement, and government. It would have the power and security to store every Canadian's electronic identity and attributes. And it would unlock countless opportunities for Canadians to verify who they are safely, quickly, and securely, while only revealing the information necessary for each transaction. A fast, easy, and secure way to bank, sign up for...
Here we go again. Remember, I've told you this. These are the selling points. This is to get everybody on board. This is the bait and hook. This is the carrot on the end of the stick to get everybody to sign up for this. Again, what did we talk about? There's the security and the convenience. This is how they're selling this to the masses.
For government services, renew driver's licenses or health cards, shop, travel, and more. Canada's banks are perfectly situated to help lead the creation of a federated digital ID system between government and the private sector. The World Economic Forum agrees that banks and financial institutions should lead the path forward for digital ID.
Yeah, trust the World Economic Forum and banks, says this guy. They're the right people to help keep our data safe and secure. The WEF and banks are quite literally the world's wealthiest and elite, and their track record doesn't exactly prove they have the best interest of average people in mind. Now, look, digitizing certain information is without a doubt convenient. I love being able to leave my house without my purse, knowing my credit cards are stored on my phone for unexpected trips to 7-Eleven. And I'm sure there are a number of benefits from moving to digital identification that they will use to sell us on. And let's start there with the ominous
they. It's glad to see other people awake and not woke.
They. Why are they actively pushing for this concept of a digital society?
Right.
Usually advancements in technology happen naturally. As more and more people adopt the new thing, the old thing becomes a relic. For example, neither the government, nor banks, nor elite came out advocating for me to switch from cassette tapes to CDs and then on to MP3s.
True.
None of the elites have told me I must use my Apple wallet rather than carry around my plastic cards. People either adopt the new advancement or they don't. No one is being forced into it. Some people can still carry around cash and they won't even use plastic, let alone Apple Pay. But what's odd about digital identification system is that rather than just rolling them out and letting those who want to use them, it's being advocated for by bankers and elites and pushed for by the World Economic Forum.
Listen to that right there. That is a truth bomb. Boom. Right there. That's exactly what we've been saying.
Not as a choice, but as a requirement. They're hoping governments adopt a federated digital identification system rather than private companies offering it as a convenience. And this is leaving a lot of people feeling very uneasy about the move. Hmm. Okay, so there's the obvious benefits of digitizing your birth certificate, social security card, bank cards, and other important documents. If there's ever a fire or things get stolen, you have backups online. Most of us keep our money in the bank with some sort of benefits. If somebody were to break into my house, for example, they're not going to find my entire life savings laying around in my bedroom. And I'm sure there was some level of resistance back in the day when companies wanted to start cutting checks to their employees rather than paying them in cash. I'm sure there were plenty of people who were skeptical of it and didn't want to have to hand over their money to a bank. So I understand there's natural levels of resistance and even paranoia whenever there's some sort of change in the way we live our lives. But if my employees really wanted to be paid in cash, I suppose I could do it. No one's forcing me to cut checks or direct deposit. But when something's being federated, the choices begin to dwindle. As it is, currently about 1 billion people around the globe have no form of identification, no way to prove who they are. Their births are unrecorded. They were
listen to this real carefully.
Never registered with their government's vital records departments, if their government even had one at all. We get into enormous debates in this country about using IDs to vote. The reason being, many people are without official government IDs. Lots of people currently can't fly in a plane because they lack a quote-unquote real ID and have since lost their birth certificates or other forms of necessary ID to secure one. So a lot of people are already disenfranchised because they lack an official form of government identification. It isn't just about voting or traveling. It's about opening bank accounts, registering for social services, and renting an apartment. Of course, those who advocate for a digital identification system claim that the digital ID will solve many of these problems. If your vitals and attributes are on record, such as fingerprints or facial recognition, then the government will always know who you are and you'll never get lost in the system.
Hello. Revelation 13, buying, selling, trading system, every person, great, small, rich, poor, free. I'm telling you guys, again, they're not going to tell you the biblical perspective of this, but we are. And it's all leading down the same road.
They'll also always know where you are and what you buy and who you visit, and exactly. Where you travel and which medicine you take and what you're allergic to. They might want to use digital identification before you can log on to the internet so they can know which websites you visit and social you post. And I'm sure this will all be done not only for convenience, but for safety, they'll say. And don't worry, I doubt anyone will hack your records and screw things up. Like, for example, switch your allergies or your medications or make it look like you visited some nefarious website that inevitably lands you on a domestic terrorist watch list. I doubt the government will use this digital identification to prevent you from entering bars and restaurants, traveling, or getting a job for not complying with a mandate the government has issued. I'm sure the government won't want to use this federated digital identification system to implement a social credit system where the goodies in society get more than the baddies.
Hello, China.
Don't worry. These are all conspiracy theories. And we all know the conspiracy theorists have been completely wrong about absolutely everything during this pandemic.
All right. So again, guys, do you see how this is all being the bait? It's being portrayed. It's being packaged with a nice bow. So everybody needs to jump on board of this. In fact, I thought this was interesting. This is a picture. This was a tweet from Sam Altman. This was day 3 of the World Coin launch. Look at the lines stretched, lines around the world, with one person getting verified every 8 seconds. Think about that. Again, World Coin launch. These are the lemmings that are lining up. One person getting verified every 8 seconds. Well, Brother Ricky, WorldCoin can't be that bad, is it? No, it's worse. This is from blockworks.com. Let's read a little bit about this. WorldCoin, a new financial system connected to sensitive biometric information mostly harvested from poor people, sounds like a terrible idea. Terrible doesn't even do it justice. WorldCoin will need to assemble a vast database of its iris data, but not everyone is eager to gaze into an orb. In the bootstrapping phase, at least, you had to pay people to scan their eyes, and so WorldCoin turned into the global south, home to the cheapest eyeballs, and played a dark game of what will people do for money. Incredibly, WorldCoin was unprepared for an obvious consequence of this rollout strategy, a black market for verified credentials. You can now seemingly buy a world ID for as little as $30. Anyone, then, with more than $30 on hand can command more than one digital identity, although WorldCoin is aware of this issue and has proposed solutions to resolve it. Connecting real people to digital identities is a thorny puzzle. WorldCoin does not fix this, and it's unlikely it ever can, since nothing in the design can stop professional Sybil attackers farming eyeballs on the ground level through nefarious means. This does not inspire trust in the system or its designers, and yet trust is what they demand. WorldCoin's promotional materials are full of promises to delete sensitive biometric information or keep it hidden from view or not use it in nefarious ways. One blog post put it this way, quote, during our field testing phase, we are collecting and securely storing more data than we will upon its completion. We will delete all the biometric data, sure, we have collected during field testing once our algorithms are fully trained. Sure they will. In other words, quote, trust us. We'll totally delete the eyeball database. All right, so it's no secret, guys. Everybody knows this by now. They are pushing for a central bank digital currency, or a CBDC. They're pushing this full steam ahead. They want to make this international. They want to make this federal. They want to make this global. They want to make this the thing. Check out this headline from, this is from naturalnews.com. Central banks planning to introduce CBDC microchip implants. Whoa. This is being warned by a top economist. A well-known German economist has revealed that central banks around the world are planning to introduce central bank digital currencies. That's no secret. However, according to the report, it's in the form of microchips implanted under the skin. What? This technology will enable complete government control over personal finances of its citizens. Quote, I was taught by a central banker that the CBDCs look like a small grain of rice that they want to put under your skin. This was according to Richard Werner in an interview with podcaster Ivor Cummins. Werner is known for developing the now commonly used bank practice of quantitative easing. CBDCs, in comparison to other forms of digital currency used at present, demand that individuals open bank accounts directly with central banks such as the Federal Reserve, granting governments government control over citizens' access to money. Quote, you have to think of CBDCs as a control system or a permit system, not a currency, according to Werner. He went on to say that adding that people's money would no longer be truly their own. Werner considered implanted CBDCs a, quote, violation of human dignity, noting that central bankers themselves know that this common opinion among the masses is a hurdle. Werner went on to say that, quote, they say there's a problem of trust because people suspect that governments and central banks are just trying to roll this out in order to monitor and control and restrict transactions. You think? They're absolutely right, said Werner. Cummins noted that while implanted CBDCs, this is the person he was in podcast with, may sound like a conspiracy theory to some. However, thousands of people have already agreed to have microchips implanted under their skin to ease financial transactions and access to select areas. Now, in case you don't think that this, if you think all this is a bunch of malarkey, check this out.
In your back pocket or your purse, a tech company wants you to keep it under your skin.
All right, so let's explain here. WalletMore is selling microchips implanted in your hand as an alternate payment. Could this be the future? Maybe. Once you set up your card info in the company's app, look at this. It says payments could be as easy as swiping your hand over a card reader. Right now, chips are not sold in the U.S. Crazy.
Yeah, it's real crazy. And it's biblical. It's prophetic. It's the beast system of buying, selling, and trading. If what this man is saying in this interview, if he's right and he's correct about this CBDC microchip implant, my friends, how close are we? Again, you've got to share these kind of messages. You've got to get the info. Because listen, you can take a Bible. There is no excuse. If you're listening to me, you're watching this program, there's no excuse. If you say, well, I'm not very good at witnessing, Brother Ricky, all you got to do, my friend, is get you a Bible, open up to Revelation 13, get your friend, get your family member, get your coworker, get your neighbor, whoever you're witnessing to, set them down, say, look at this, Revelation chapter 13, show them this system that's coming in the future that will be controlled by the Antichrist and the false prophet, wherein which they will implement a system of buying, selling, and trading by putting something in their right hand and in their forehead, and show them this podcast. And then let's see who's the, quote, conspiracy theorist then. But come on, I feel like the salesman Billy Mays. Some of y'all don't even know who I'm talking about, and that's okay. We'll just go on. But wait. There's more. That was always his pitch. He would give you a sales pitch and you think it was about to be over, but then he'd say, wait, there's more. And that's what I want to say today. Wait, there's more. Look at this. Researchers are developing injectable, somebody say injectable, smart tattoos that could someday monitor your health. Let's read this. Tattoos are considered, this is from CNN News, Tattoos are considered to be among the oldest form of art dating back thousands of years and practiced by many cultures across human history. Now, some researchers believe the next generation of tattoos will be about more than just markings, by helping keep tabs on our health. Creating smart tattoo pigments that can be, look at this, injected under the skin to monitor certain biomarkers in the human body requires a collaboration between scientists, engineers, and designers. And friends, I'm sure when we get to Revelation 13, you will see a collaboration of scientists, engineers, and designers, and the elites working together to create a system. According to Dr. Ali Yedison, who is a researcher in the Department of Chemical Engineering at Imperial College of London, his concepts replaces conventional tattoo ink with functional materials, creating tattoos that change their color in response to external stimuli, such as change in blood sugar levels for people with diabetes, monitoring kidney or liver functions, or warning athletes of dehydration. Guys, the concept is already here. If you have an iWatch, for example, it'll alert you of heart arrhythmias. It can alert you if your oxygen levels drop. So all this is already being implemented, but this is, again, another layer of this. He went on to say that, quote, we hope that these innovative technologies will be a general platform in order to utilize diagnostic technologies, including a wide range of implantable and injectable sensors that can report and display the human condition in real time. Now, This is a picture of this. If you're watching this visually, here you see the digital tattoo on this man's forearm. And again, he says that this will be implantable, injectable. The report says that convinced of the safety even before running water tests, there are no FDA-approved tattoo inks in the United States. I'm sure that will change. However, his team is using, quote, non-toxic medical grade materials that have a long history of biomedical use for the smart inks. Bruns gave himself several solar freckle tattoos, which lasted roughly 6 to 8 months before fading. Now, I have to be honest with you here. This part in Revelation 16, verses 2 and 11 has always intrigued me, because when you read this, it appears, and I put this up on your screen for you guys that are watching the visual of this, it appears here that the individuals who take the mark of the beast begin to form what the Bible calls these grievous, I believe the King James uses grievous or loathsome sores that end up developing on people who take the mark of the beast and worship his image. Then in Revelation 16:11, it says these same people will be blaspheming the God of heaven because of the pain and anguish associated with these sores. So this has always intrigued me about the mark of the beast. Whatever this is that's implanted in the right hand or the forehead, those individuals who take this will develop these grievous, loathsome sores that will be so painful that they'll be crying out during the tribulation and they'll be blaspheming the God of heaven. Now, here's a little bit more detail on these smart tattoos. So this, again, I believe all this is going to just kind of tie together different forms of this, because it's interesting when you go to Revelation 13, it says there'll be the mark of the beast, the number of the beast, and the name of the beast. So the mark, the number, and the name. Everybody always equates it to a number, a numerical system of some sort. Probably because it says 666, it says, let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, his number is 666. So this is why a lot of people equate the mark of the beast to a numerical system. But again, you studied out, it says the name of the beast, the number of the beast, or the mark of the beast. Anywho, here is the video. A little bit more detail on these smart tattoos.
It's not what you would expect in a tattoo parlor. Carson Bruns is working to move tattoos from body art to medical monitoring.
The one that's the furthest along right now is a UV-sensitive tattoo.
A team of researchers at the University of Colorado is developing a kind of smart ink. It contains a color-changing dye that appears or disappears depending on what it's exposed to. For instance, potentially harmful UV rays.
So if you see your tattoo, it basically means that you're overexposed to sunlight and you need to wear sunscreen.
But sun-indicating tattoos are just the beginning. Carson is also working on tats that could help doctors monitor illnesses, such as alerting people to changes in their blood chemistry.
We'd love to make a tattoo ink that can detect your blood sugar levels or your blood alcohol content.
Researchers are testing the smart ink by tattooing pieces of pig skin. Then Carson opted to be the first person to get a tech tattoo.
I call them solar freckles.
Carson admits it was a little risky to try the new ink on himself, and there are many safety tests left to do.
And that's kind of our biggest concern right now, is making sure that we're not poisoning anybody with these tattoos.
So don't expect these tech tats to be available anytime soon, but Carson is confident people will one day be able to get a tattoo with important medical powers.
They're going to enable people to be more healthy and more self-expressive.
Now, most dermatologists.
All right, moving along, since we're talking about implantable, injectable, look at this terrifying headline. This is from The Bite. Scientists implant subjects with fake memories using deep fakes. Researchers have found that they can incept false memories by showing subjects deep fake clips of movie remakes that were never actually produced. Now, in the event that you don't know what, maybe you're new to this and you don't understand what deep fakes is and what that means, we got a video clip for you. So let's watch this together. Then we're going to go back to the article and show you why that's terrifying.
Make it look like anyone is saying anything at any point in time, even if they would never say those things. So, for instance, they could have me say things like, Killmonger was right.
So that may have looked and sounded like former President Barack Obama, but that was actually a fake video. It was voiced by actor and director Jordan Peele. And since that video was released in 2018, what's known as deepfake technology has only improved, making the spread of misinformation so much easier.
This is a dangerous time. Moving forward, we need to be more vigilant with what we trust from the internet. That's a time when we need to rely on trusted news sources.
Well, just last week, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi went viral after being targeted in a series of doctored videos. Each of the clips were slowed down to make the congresswoman sound intoxicated. And now, as we get closer to the 2020 presidential elections, candidates and their teams are struggling to understand the best way to handle the threat of deep fakes.
Obviously, this is almost 4 years old, But we just want to give you the understanding of what we're talking about here.
So joining me now, CNET senior producer Dan Patterson. Okay, so we get it. We know deep fakes are these kind of phony videos. First off, if you're on the net, which all of us are, how do you tell the difference? And who's putting these out there?
Rena, this morning I spoke with an expert in artificial intelligence and asked this same question, thinking the scientists will have the answers. There are no answers right now. What we are...
That's comforting to know, right?
...seeing is the proliferation of technology that was, just a few years ago, incredibly expensive and processor expensive. By that, I mean it's not just expensive to buy or own the chips. It means it takes a lot of time and energy for those chips to do their work. Now, you can do the same thing with a regular MacBook. So this technology is spreading so quickly and is in the hands of so many different actors that it's hard to tell the difference between a quality deepfake, a bad deepfake, and the real deal.
All right, so that's the technology. Again, 4 years ago, it was just out of the gate. Now it's fully out there. We're seeing it all over the place. Look at this article. Let me go back to this. As detailed in a recent paper published in the journal PLOS-ONE, deepfake clips of made-up movies were convincing enough to trick participants into believing they were real. Now, why are we talking about this? I'm going to explain in a minute. Some went as far as to rank the fake movies, which included purported remakes of real movies like Will Smith starring in rebooted The Matrix to be better than the originals. But the study did have an important caveat. However, deepfakes were no more effective than simple text descriptions at distorting memory. The paper reads, suggesting that deepfakes aren't entirely necessary to trick somebody into accepting a false memory. Quote, we shouldn't jump to predictions of dystopian futures based on our fears around emerging technologies, according to lead study author Gillian Murphy, a misinformation researcher at University College Cork in Ireland. Didn't even know there was such a thing. According to him, quote, yes, there are very real harms posed by deepfakes, but we should always gather evidence for those harms in the first instance before rushing to solve problems we've just assumed might exist. According to this report, the researchers showed clips of deepfake videos to 436 participants. An average of 49% of those participating in this were fooled by the deepfake videos, and a full 41% of the group claimed that the Captain Marvel remake was even better than the original. It's interesting, at the very end of this article, it says, quote, generative AI is only going to get more convincing as time goes on, meaning that we need to stay vigilant before the tech has a chance to rewrite the past. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. We need to stay vigilant before the tech has the chance to rewrite the past. Guys, they're already rewriting the past. You don't think they're rewriting the past in your children's history books? You don't think, what do you think the woke culture's doing? Everything, listen, they have gotten their hands in everything from movies to novels to children's stories, everything. And they're rewriting history. They're eliminating history. They're destroying history. They're blotting it out. So you don't think that a nefarious agency, leader, government could take this kind of technology in their hands and use it to their advantage? I'm telling you, friend, listen to me. I want to go back to Wednesday's podcast. How much more proof do you need? Everything, the tools, the blueprint, the foundation, the framework is all in place to bring about the fulfillment of what we read about in John's writing of the book of Revelation and the beast system that is rising and will be here in the future. Listen, if you're not, I'm telling you, if you're not awake, you need to get awake. I pray for you today that the eyes of your understanding would be open and that the veil would be lifted today. Listen, if you're watching me, you're listening to me today, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I ask you to do what the Bible says. Repent. Repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to come and wash you by his blood. And the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again, you shall be saved. If you're backslid, get off the fence, stop being lukewarm, and get back on fire for God, because the days are dwindling down. The grains of sand are coming through the hourglass. Time is running out. We are at the last seconds of the midnight hour. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to split the eastern sky, and we don't want to be playing games when the Lord returns. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you've not downloaded our free app, please do it today. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. You can get it today by just going to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you, type it in, End Time Headlines, download the app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be ready to go with every headline, every podcast, every viewpoint segment, devotional, everything that we do. You'll be notified of it as well. So again, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that push notification, or the bell for the notifications, so you can be notified of every time we go live and we do these broadcasts as well. Of course, we'd love for you to hit that like button, because this is what pushes our content out when you share it and like the broadcast. If you'd like to become a monthly partner of our ministry, it blesses you, informs you, equips you, edifies you on a week-to-week basis. Guys, we went all week this. We went 5 full days this week and have probably overloaded you with information and revelation. If you are thankful for this, you're blessed by this, we want to give you the opportunity to give back, to sow back. And we would love for you to become a monthly partner. Pray about that. Ask the Lord what he would have you to do. You can do that 2 different ways. The easiest way is to give through the app. And that's on the left of your screen if you're watching this. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, download the app. Or you can go to visit endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And you're going to see a place right there where it says donate or support the ministry. Click on that link. Go down, and it's going to take you to place electronically where you can give according to whatever the Lord purposes in your heart. Also, if you wish to give by check or money order, you can make it out to right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Guys, I want to give you a quick update for you guys that have been praying for me, for my health. I'm not out of the woods yet, but I feel a lot better. I have drastically changed my diet for the better. You could probably tell I've lost weight, which again, I needed to. So I feel good. I feel a lot better. The symptoms that I have are not throughout the whole day. So it's getting gradually better and better. So I thank the Lord for that. I thank your prayers. And again, a shout out to all of our partners and supporters of our ministry. You guys that send us cards, emails, letters, notes in the mail, all that stuff, messages. We read every one of them. We're so grateful for you guys all across America and even outside the United States. We see every one of them. We love you guys. We cherish your friendship, your prayers, and your partnership for our ministry. If it wasn't for you guys, we would not be able to do what we do every single week here on End Time Headlines. So again, great big shout out to you guys. Love you guys very much. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. We'll continue to keep you updated as the Lord blesses us and continue uses this ministry. So we're going to sign off for this week, guys. We are going to be out. Tomorrow's the 29th, the 30th, I believe. We'll be back here on Monday. What is that? The 31st, I believe. We'll be back here on Monday evening, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook Live, and all the platforms that you can follow us on. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you Monday night.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.